All right. Great, great, great. While you're finding your way back to your seat, and once you get in your seat, grab your Bibles and open them up to Psalm 119. As we get into an amazing psalm tonight, the longest psalm in the Bible, and the greatest focus on God's Word in any one specific chapter, if you will, of the Bible. So it's going to be a great chapter. Can't wait to go through it. Let's pray and ask for God just to bless the teaching of His Word tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for tonight. And I thank You, Lord, for Your Word. And God, no one could truly do justice even speaking about Your Word but You. Your Word alone can really talk of how great Your Word is. And so no man can express that. There's no way that I could express that. But God, I pray You would help me tonight. Even as we see the psalmist crying out for Your help in every area of his life, Lord, I cry out for Your help tonight to be able, Lord, to read Your Word and to, as we go through this, Lord, to, again, let Your Word minister through me to Your people, that they might be encouraged and built up and strengthened and challenged and refreshed and all the things that Your Word does, Lord, we ask You would do tonight. So God, we just pray that You'd open Your Word to us, that You would be the teacher by the power of Your Spirit. And Lord, we look forward to what You have for us in Psalm 119. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 138:2 says this, stay where you are. Psalm 138:2 says this, I will worship toward Your holy temple and praise Your name for Your loving kindness and Your truth. Note this, for You have magnified Your word above all Your name. The Bible says that the Lord's name is the name above all names. There's one thing that's higher, or should I say magnified more, and that is His word. You can't really say it's higher because Jesus is the word and He is the Trinity. It's all a part of who He is, but He's magnified it. If you will, imagine in your mind, you're looking at your iPhone and you put your two fingers on there and spread them apart and it gets large. He's done that with His word, even above His name. In other words, he's drawing more attention to His word than His name. He's magnifying, He's glorifying, He's pointing everyone to His word more than His name. Why? Why the name above all names? One thing magnified more than that, why would it be His word? Because His word is where we find all the answers for life and salvation. Everything you need is in the word of God, everything. There is nothing you need for your life that you cannot find in the scriptures if you don't search the scriptures and pray and ask God to show you. It's all there. And that's something I've learned over the years of ministry. Everything is in the Word of God, all of it. It's all there. And so tonight, as we go into Psalm 119, looking at this psalm that magnifies the Word of God just all the way through, again, in all these verses, the longest psalm in the Bible and one of the longest, maybe the longest chapter in the Bible, if you will. And there's only like three verses in all of it that doesn't directly relate to the Word of God. And so, again, an amazing psalm in 119 and it's really one of those things where if we weren't doing a through the Bible, where we're covering larger portions of Scripture, we could literally camp here for weeks and spend weeks looking at Psalm 119 because there's more here than we could ever cover. So we're not going to go nearly as deeply as I would like to go in this study because that's not the purpose of Wednesday night. We're trying to do a large overview, cover larger sections of Scripture. But I encourage you, if you desire to say, hey, I just want to go deeper into a particular part of the Bible, I encourage you, set aside a month or so and just dig into Psalm 119. Get some commentaries, look what you can up online, learn how to use your concordance and do word studies. If you don't know how to do that, call the church. We'll help you learn how to do that. And just dig into Psalm 119 because the riches of Psalm 119, again, are like the riches of the universe. Something that's magnified even more than His name. And He's put it on paper. And so again, all of His word would come under that classification. But Psalm 119 is the psalm that specifically is just devoted to the word of God all the way through. Now, a little bit of background before we jump into Psalm 119. Again, it's done in what's called an acrostic. We've talked about that before. There are several psalms in the Bible that are acrostics. And what that means is basically what the psalmist has done. He's taken the Hebrew alphabet. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And he starts each section with a Hebrew letter of the alphabet. And he works all the way through the alphabet using that letter to start each verse. So each verse will be starting with Aleph, will be the first one. There's eight verses in each of these segments. And in each of these verses, they start with that letter, if you will, of the Hebrew alphabet. And then all these different nuances of God's word will be spoken about. And by the way, when you read it, a lot of it might seem in some ways repetitive, but when you really do the study in the word, you'll find they're not repetitive at all. It is an amazingly supernaturally written psalm, as they all are, that brings out nuances of God's word as you begin to study and go deeper with each line. It's amazing, truly supernatural. No man could have ever written this, and yet this is kind of the layout. So we'll do 8 verses per each section. It's interesting to me that it's 8 per each section because 8 is the number of new beginnings, as you know in Scripture. And once again, where does the new beginning start? With the word of God. Of course, salvation, that's a given. But once we're saved, it's through the word of God that we're saved, hearing the word of God, hearing the gospel. So the word leads us to salvation. And then we have a new beginning in life with salvation. And each of these segments on the word of God is as if to say these are areas of brand new life that God will give to us as we graze here, as his flock, as his sheep. And so there's going to be exciting things, like I said, as we go through it. And God's going to speak things to your heart as we go through it as well. Also, again, broken up into an acrostic like this with different letters of the alphabet, the Jewish children would oftentimes be required to memorize this. And you can imagine trying to memorize a psalm that is this long. So this would have also helped them do their memorization of the psalm as well. So just an amazing treatise, if you will, on the word of God, Psalm 119. Let's jump into it. The first one is Aleph, and so the first 8 verses, starting with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and of course, you won't see that borne out in the English, but you'll know it that it's there in the Hebrew. Notice what he says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart." Now notice this again, right off the bat. Blessed are those who are undefiled when they walk in the law of the Lord. That is, if you walk in the law of God's word, you will live a life that is undefiled. Now again, he's not going to be talking about a life of perfection. We know that. That's not going to be reached until heaven. But it's a life of purity. The word of God purifies. It is what purifies our soul. It purifies our mind. What does the Bible say? It's the washing of the water of the word that cleanses us. And so there's a purification process. Even tonight when you're here and you come, you're sitting here, you're hearing the word of God, it's as though God is pouring out water from heaven and just cleansing your mind, cleansing your heart, cleansing your life in every area, doing things you don't even know that he's doing. But the word of God is powerful. As it says, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing even bone and marrow, soul and spirit. And the bottom line is it does a work we can't even see. So God's word is working in us as we read it. And he says, it blesses those who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies. Again, notice not just those who read his testimonies. The blessing comes with those who keep them. That is, you commit God's word to obedience. And notice this, who seek him with the whole heart. This is one we talked about on Sunday. You know, our hearts are so easily divided. And affections of our heart can be pulled in different directions. God says, if you will get your entire heart focused on me, that's when you walk in the full blessing of God, the riches of the Lord. A lot of times people say, well, I'm walking with the Lord and I don't feel that I'm blessed. Are you searching for the Lord with your whole heart? Are you walking with the Lord with your whole heart or only part of your heart? See, as we go through this, I also want you to see this psalm as a prayer because it really is. As a matter of fact, I would encourage you when you get up and have your quiet time in the morning, go through Psalm 119 again tomorrow morning and pray it. Lay it out before you, pray it before the Lord, because you're going to see as we go through this, it's an amazing thing just to lay these prayers out before the Lord. And one of the things that we need to ask God is, God, help me to seek you with my whole heart, all of me. I love the sincerity of the psalmist as we go through the psalm, because he's going to talk about how he loves God's word, how precious God's word is to him, and yet he's going to admit, I need you to help me to make it precious. I need you to help me to seek you the way I'm supposed to seek you. I need you to help me to delight in your word. And there's an honesty there that I like. I pray that all the time. Lord, help me to love your word more. Help me to delight in your word. Help me to seek you more. And God is faithful to do that. And so pray it as a prayer. He says, they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Again, as we study God's word, we learn his ways and we learn how to walk in his ways and not our own and not the world's ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. And again, note that. We see that all through the scripture. How do we keep the word of God diligently? And why would God say to do that? Because again, unless we put some effort into keeping God's word, it's so easy again just to veer off of it. You know, the old hymn, you know, prone to wander. You know, that we the old hymnal says, singing to the Lord, because we are prone to wander. It just kind of happens. If you don't make an effort to draw into the Lord, you're going to naturally drift away. I've used the analogy before, but it's like, you know, the boat that you don't, you know, tie up to the dock or whatever. Or maybe you had something, and you know, if you're a boater, do boating, and maybe you didn't tie your tube up, you know, to the side of the boat there, your inner tube, or maybe something else you had, and you start talking for just a moment, you look away, and it's floated away. I mean, you can be 100 yards away in no time. Why? Because it's not tethered to the boat. It's not tied to it. That's what the Bible says our heart is like. It's so easy for our hearts just to drift. And so the psalmist is saying, no, I'm going to diligently keep your precepts. I want to keep my focus where it needs to be. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Now, here's the honesty again of the psalmist. We don't know who wrote this. Again, whether it was David or not, I believe that it was because of the way that it's written, but we don't know for sure that it was. But whoever the psalmist is, notice here he says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. That is, in my own, I wish I could do that. But the reality is, in my own, I don't. God has to do that for me. So here's where the honesty comes in. Look, if you don't love the Word of God tonight, if you're not desiring the Word of God, if you're not focused on the Word of God like you really believe you should be, then ask God to do it. You know, don't beat yourself up. Just run to the Lord and say, God, look, direct my ways to keep your statutes. Get me into your Word. Help me to stay focused. Help me to be diligent. He says, then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. Again, if I was obeying them, I wouldn't be ashamed. But when I look into God's commandments and I see how I'm failing, that's where we can oftentimes feel ashamed. And again, the Lord wipes our shame away. But the reality is we look at God's word and we say, Lord, I've drifted. I'm so far from where I need to be. He says, Lord, hold me here. Keep me where I need to be. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. Note this, when are we going to praise him with an upright heart? When we learn his righteous judgments. As we understand the Word of God, that's when we begin to praise God with an upright heart. How do we understand the Word of God? We have to read it. Now, you're going to see this theme all through this. That's why I love Psalm 1. There's so many reasons I love Psalm 119, but you're going to see a theme all the way through Psalm 119 where he says, look, read the Word, be in the Word, focus on the Word, delight in the Word, you know, all these things. And he cries out to God, God, make me that kind of person in the Word. Why? Because what he knows is the more we learn the Word of God, the more we're going to desire God, the more we're going to understand God, the more pure our heart's going to be, the more pure our worship's going to be, and the more like Jesus we're going to be. And so the Word is the answer to everything. If you say, I wish I could be more like the Lord, get in the Word. I wish I could walk like that guy or that girl, get in the Word. I wish I could be more godly, get in the Word. It has a power, an intrinsic power in and of itself, if you know Christ, that works. And he says, I'll do this when I learn the righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. And so we come to the end of Aleph. Now we come to Bet, the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Again, they pronounce it Bet rather than the H, not the Beth sound that we say, but Beth, however you want to say it. And notice he starts out with this one. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Notice he says, how does a young man cleanse his way? It's not that a young woman doesn't need to cleanse her way. We all need to cleanse our way. But I believe the psalmist is making an emphasis here. And again, the application goes to both. But especially a young man to cleanse his way, because there are so many things that can draw a young man away. And again, I go back to the way God's made us. We're different than women. And again, any of us can be drawn away. We know that. But a young man, especially a young man, as he begins to grow and all the natural desires begin to take place and all the temptations of the world around him and all the different things that take place, it's easy for a young man to veer off course. And I've seen that in my young life. I've seen that in other young men in their lives. And what he's saying is, look, if you're here tonight and you're a young man and you're finding you're not walking with God the way you want to walk, you're involved in things you don't want to be involved in, your way is not cleansed before the Lord, how do you cleanse that? Notice this, by taking heed according to the word. So what's he saying again? Get in the Word of God and take heed to it. Here's the bottom line. If you're not walking before the Lord in a cleansed way, you're not spending the time in the Word that you need to spend. There's a direct correlation there to spending time in the Word and heeding the Word. Not just spending time in it, but notice here he says, heeding according to your Word, doing what it says. And then he says how to do that. Look at verse 10. With my whole heart I have sought you. So how do we seek the Lord? With our whole heart. Again, I just want to encourage you. If you can read Psalm 119, and especially if you're going through a dry time, it can be discouraging because you're thinking, man, I'm not seeking God with my whole heart. I'm not doing these things. I'm not in the Word like I should be. The psalm is not written to beat you up. The psalm is written to challenge us and show us what to do to get on the right path. So if you're in that place, what he's saying is ask God to help you to have a whole heart toward the Lord. Lord, I need my heart completely toward you. I need to love you the way that I'm supposed to love, that I'm supposed to love you, and you're going to have to do that because my heart's not where it needs to be. See, I love the picture we see of the psalmist talking to the Lord because he lays his heart out in truth. He doesn't hide anything. You know, don't tell the Lord that I'm not seeking him with my whole heart, you know. I'm going to be sneaky about it. No, he says, tell him, Lord, I'm not seeking you with my whole heart. If that's you tonight, tell him that. I recognize, Lord, that I'm not seeking you with my whole heart. You tell me that if I do seek you with my whole heart, that's where the reward comes from. Help me to do it. make me to do it. And again, we'll see that as the psalmist goes further on, asking God to do these things. But with my whole heart, I've sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. So look at this kind of, I'm giving you permission to make me obey. You know, I wish God would just do that. I say, Lord, just make me obey. I enjoy freedom. Don't get me wrong. I want my freedom. But I've seen what I do when I have too much freedom. It's not that good. And so, Lord, don't let me, make me do what's right. You know, as a parent, you know what that's like. Right, you see your kids and you want to when they get older especially, you want to make them give their life to the Lord. You want to make them follow God. But you can't do that. That's something that they have to decide for themselves. But I love what the psalmist says here. Lord, I want you to make me do this. I'm giving you permission to make me do this. I need this. In verse 11, again, some of these verses you'll notice are very famous verses that you've heard throughout your life if you've walked with the Lord any length of time. Here's one of them. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. What a great verse. What he's saying is, I have memorized your word, and because I've put your word to memory, it keeps me from sin. You ever been in a situation where you're tempted and the word of God just pops right in your brain about what you're not supposed to be doing, and you're thinking about doing it? I have. And I realized because I put that in my heart, that's keeping me from doing it. It's protecting me from doing it. It's guarding me, you know, from doing something that I shouldn't do. And again, who knows if it's true or not, but there's among the tradition, among the rabbis, that there was a young yeshiva student who was veering away from the word of God and decided to go into a prostitute. And when he got into the prostitute, he got in there and, you know, they wear on their robes these tassels at the bottom to remind them of the word of God. And as he removed his robe, the tassel swung up and hit him in the face. And he said at that moment, God spoke to his heart and said, remember the word of God. And he said to the prostitute, I can't do this. This is wrong. And she was like, what? I'm not, you know, pleasing to you? He said, that's not the issue. God reminded me, I have to go. And he left. And according to their tradition, she was so impressed with his testimony in the Lord that she too repented, and they later ended up getting married. Now, I don't know if that's verifiable or not, but it makes the point. If you put the word of God in your heart and you're about to do something you know is wrong, then it is right there to be brought back up, and God can rescue us from oftentimes making life-changing mistakes. And so memorize the word of God. You say, well, I'm not good at memory. Well, start out with a verse. You know, find a verse that really ministers to you and just memorize that one verse. You'll be surprised when you begin to memorize God's word, it'll get easier and easier, and you just lay that up. And I talk to people all the time that say, I started memorizing God's word, and now what I need, it's not just so that you won't sin, but what happens is when you're sharing with someone and you're, you know, sharing the gospel, then the scriptures start coming. Things you didn't even know you had memorized, right? And they're there. God, the Holy Spirit begins to bring them to your memory. And so he says, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And that's what it does. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I've declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. This is so challenging. Have we rejoiced in the way of his testimonies as much as in all riches? See, covetousness, you think about that. It's so easy to desire things of the world. You see something you really want, and like, wow. Wouldn't that be amazing to have? I would love to have that. I would love to be able. Do we desire God's word that way? What the psalmist is saying is, of all the delights of the world that are there, it's your word that I want the most. Now, you might be saying, wait a minute, I wish that was the way that it was for me, but that honestly is not the way that it is tonight. Ask him to make it that way. God, give me a heart that wants your word above all riches. Because remember this, everything down here is going to burn up one day. It's all going to be gone. His word stands forever. There's reward in heaven that is forever. Our focus has to be on the eternal, not the temporary. And so he says, it's better than riches. I will meditate on your precepts. And by the way, that's a great way to memorize. Meditate on the word of God, just saying it over and over. Maybe lay your Bible out and pick a verse and walk by and read it every so often. Meditate on it. It begins to go into memory and into the heart. I will meditate on your precepts. I will contemplate your ways. How often do we contemplate our ways, right? But we need to contemplate God's ways. It's your ways, God, I want to think about. I will delight myself in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. So delighting ourselves in the word of God. Again, there's a challenge. Do we delight ourselves in the word of God? Are we delighted in it? You know, as you begin to read the word of God and ask God to bring it alive to you, you begin to delight in it. As you see the riches of God's word, and There are some mornings where I just read God's word and I'll say, God, open your word. By the way, how do you have a quiet time? Just get up, open up your Bible and pray. Say, God, open your word to me. Because I hear a lot of people say, and it's easy to happen, especially when life is busy and it's hard. I read the word, but it doesn't really do anything. I'm not really connecting. Something's missing or whatever. Here's what you do. Before you start reading it, say, God, I need you now to open my eyes. Let me understand this. You speak to me from heaven. I want to hear from heaven. I need to understand it. Your word is alive. I know that. I believe it. I need you now to speak to me. So God, open my eyes. I can tell you the mornings that I do that, God begins to show me things. There's times where I'll be reading God's word and just begin to, you know, a tear go down my cheek. I'm not real emotional. And I'm not going to tell you that I'm weeping. But he'll just start opening his word to me like, oh my goodness. And a lot of times it's about his glory. It's about who he is. A lot of times it's about the future that he has for us and the promises of God. And it just becomes overwhelming. But we have to have God open our heart that way. And so the psalmist cries out. He says, I will delight myself. Notice it's a choice. I will delight myself in your statutes. If you're struggling with delighting in the word of God, ask him to say, God, I want to delight in your word. There's nothing like it when you begin to delight in the word of God. You know, God promised the Levites. He's given all these different possessions to all the children of Israel. And to the Levites, he says, I'm your possession. Now, if you're not in tune with the Spirit, that might sound like, wait a minute, how come they got all this land and all this stuff and all I got was just, you know, the Bible or whatever. But when you understand the greatest riches of the universe are in the Lord, there is no greater inheritance you can have than the word of God and God speaking to your heart. He's the creator of all things. He owns all things. This is his word given to you and the power of his Spirit revealing it. There's nothing greater. And so we need to pray, God, give me a delight for your word. I will not forget your word. And so we finish that next eight verses. Now we come to Gimel. He says, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. That goes right back to what I was just saying. Pray. Say, God, open my eyes so I can see your word. I want to know your word. I need to understand your word. Open it so that I may see the wondrous things of your law. And now notice what makes it even more wonderful. And this is where the understanding comes in, that we can really go deeper into the things of the spirit rather than the flesh. Look at this. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. In other words, I don't belong here. You know, it took years and years for me to realize I don't belong here. I mean, I kind of always felt like I didn't necessarily, you know, it was always kind of hard to find a group that I fit into. That was just kind of how it was. But to realize, to truly understand in the spirit, I don't belong here. There's something beautiful in that. Because as long as we feel like we belong here, we tend to hold on tighter. And we grab onto this world. Once we realize we really don't belong here, it's easy to let go. And I'm not talking about wanting to die, having some type of morbid thought process, but it's realizing this is not where I belong. I belong in the kingdom of God. I'm simply here on a mission. This is a temporary pilgrimage, as the Bible says. And so I recognize I'm a stranger, but notice this, because we're strangers, he says, don't hide your commandments. I don't belong here, so I need to know how I'm to conduct myself. It's almost like you're an ambassador traveling to a foreign world. You're saying, look, I'm going to a foreign country. I don't know the way they do things. Show me what to do. Give me some information here. That's what he's crying out for from heaven. He says, my soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me my reproach and contempt. And again, we're going to see this theme come up several times in here because he was standing on the word of God. And because he was standing on the word of God, he was being reproached and being treated with contempt. By the way, if you stand on the word of God, if you magnify it the way it's supposed to be magnified, you're going to be reproached. And you're going to have people that hold you in contempt. Oh, do you really believe the Bible? How primitive are you? How stupid can you be to believe this ancient book really applies to that? You really believe that it's the literal word of God? You're going to be reproached for that. Why? Spiritual warfare. And yet, if you magnify God's word, even above his name, as remember we see in Psalm 138, we're exhorted to do, this is what's happening to the psalmist. He loves the word of God. He's magnifying the word of God. And because of that, he's taking the attack. And I can tell you, it'll happen in your families. It'll happen in your workplace. It'll happen in normal life. So you need to be prepared for that mentally. But also, I think, to be ready to cry out and say, God, remove my reproach. Take it away from me, for I've kept your testimonies. And this is where it gets even greater. Look at this, verse 23. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Notice he says, I don't attack them back. I meditate on your statutes. But notice who's attacking him, princes. We would say today, congressmen, senators, those in high authority, mayors, governors. He's talking about those that are in higher authority attack me. In other words, if you make a stand for the word of God, you may be attacked even by the highest authorities in the land. How do we react to that? Now, that's a tough one, right? You've got to realize, no, there's a higher authority. There's a higher king. And I may not be justified yet in your eyes, but he will justify me. And you're going to see that God's going to be my defense. But again, this is interesting because, again, there's a lot of pressure coming in on the church today from the government. Not as much, but it's going to be building. I think that's something we're going to see in the future of the church is more pressure from, if you want to call them, the princes of America. That is the governors and those in leadership, if you will. And so how are we going to handle that? It's going to happen, especially if we stand on the Word of God. It's interesting. I believe it was, I want to say that right, one of the governors that made a big stand against the church when this whole COVID thing started or whatever, made some comment about how the churches needed to be shut down because there was no real usefulness to them for the society. Some quote like that. And it just shows a total lack of understanding of how powerful the Word of God is for a society and how not only useful but essential that it is. And so princes, speaking against, if you will, he says, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies are also my delight and my counselors. Again, showing that delight in God's word. And also note this, counselors. Where do we get our counsel? You know, the Bible says that the Lord is our wonderful counselor and that the word of God is our counsel. I love this story. And Pastor Romaine, who used to be kind of the right-hand man for Pastor Chuck, was for many years. He did something that we've never adopted, but I've been tempted to do, but I guess I just never, I don't know, never really went that route. That seemed a little bit, I don't know. I'll just tell you what he did. But people come to council there at Costa Mesa, and they would say, I'd like to see a pastor about council. And if Romaine was with him, he'd say, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back and read the Bible for 2 weeks every day. Spend real time in it every day. And if you still need to see a pastor after 2 weeks, come back and I'll sit with you. He said, there was a higher number that never came back to talk to him than did talk to him. Now, if you knew Romaine, it might have been because they were afraid. I don't know. It could have been. But I wonder how many of us, and again, there's nothing wrong in seeking counsel from your pastors. That's good. And even from other believers. But God's word has the answers. And I think it's good to get counsel. We're encouraged to do that. So I'm not belittling that. But I wonder how much counsel we would get answers to if we simply went to the Word of God first. Again, I've shared with you guys before, but this happens on a fairly regular basis. People will call and try to get a hold of me, and for whatever the reason, I'm not around my phone. I don't hear it ring or whatever. I'll get up the next morning and I'll see there's a message for me, or maybe I was somewhere the cell phone service wasn't working or whatever. And I'll call them back. I'll say, what happened? I'll say, last night, I really needed to pray. I needed to talk to you. There was something, this huge problem came up and all this, but you know what? It was okay. I couldn't get a hold of you, so I cried out to God and just got in the Word, and he told me what to do. And I'm thinking, that's how it's supposed to work. Not that you can't run to your pastor, you can't run to another believer, a brother, or a sister. But I encourage you, the next time the crisis hits or the, what do I do in this thing? You know, run to God. God, what do I do? You know, it's interesting when the whole, you know, COVID thing happened. I think that every pastor had to seek the Lord for his own, and every church had to decide what they were going to do. That was a real test for the pastors of America, because you want to do what God wants you to do, but at the same time, you want to make sure that you're not putting the people in unnecessary danger and all these things, and there's really no one to turn to. That's one of those instances where there really wasn't anyone that I could turn to. I know a lot of pastors I can call and say, give me some counsel, what do you think, and pray. And certainly they can pray with me, but there's really no one you can turn to. It has to be God. And I believe that God did speak, and God did direct, and God did lead. And I look back now, and I see the fruit of it, and know that he did. But God puts us in situations where there is no one that can help. And maybe tonight you're in a situation no one can help. You realize that even if you went to a pastor, they don't have an answer for you. There's nothing they can do. But the Lord has the answer. And the Word of God has the answer. And God will oftentimes lead you there on purpose so that no one can help you, so you have to cry out to God. And that's a great place to be. It's not fun at the time, but it's a great place to be. It always amazes me when you read about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. They were following the cloud. You couldn't get much more directive than that. You know, I thought, Lord, I need your direction. Just follow that cloud. How hard can that be, right? I would love to have a cloud that I could just follow today. I wish I just had my own little cloud. Get up in the morning, and there it is, let's go. You know, and poof, slow down, I can't keep up or whatever. But we don't have that. But that cloud, they followed it. It led them to a dead-end road of destruction, seemingly. The Red Sea. Nowhere to go. The Egyptian army behind them coming to wipe them out. Mountains on both sides without any place to escape. They couldn't get away. They had no weapons. They were doomed. And yet God led them there. Why would God do that? Because God wanted them to be in an impossible situation where they would see that only God could deliver them. And when they cried out to God, he did. See, tonight there may be some of you in here that, and maybe you're, you know, waiting to speak to a pastor tonight. Do that. I'm not trying to discourage you from seeking out counsel. That's good. But God may have put you in an impossible situation tonight, and you're wondering, what's the answer? And God may have put you there because he wants to show you his power, his ability to deliver, his ability to teach you to seek him out, to be, you know, the counselor that you need. And so, again, it's a great lesson to learn. It can be difficult at the time, but it's very good to know that when you need that counsel, the Lord is always there, and there's no greater counselor than the Lord. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselor. So we finish Gimel. Now we come to Dalet. He says, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Now, this is one that I love because, again, where does revival start? It always starts with the word of God. Every great revival, if you go study the revivals throughout history, they all started with the word of God, teaching the word of God, line by line, verse by verse, the teaching of the word of God. How we need that in America today. Aren't you glad for the churches we have that teach the word of God? Line by line, verse by verse. Truly. Listen, I am so thankful. I didn't come up with it. It wasn't something I came up with. It wasn't like I was so wise and I was so spiritual. I said, you know, I think what I'm going to do because of my great spiritualness is take the body through the word of God. No, I learned that. I came in as a baby in the Lord, and God put me with a bunch of guys that were teaching through the word, and it blew me away. I was like, you guys are teaching through the word. First of all, I mean, all of it, Genesis to Revelation, and the stuff I was learning and the stuff I was seeing, you know what that's like. You go through the word with different teachers, right? And it's a blessing from the Lord that we have that. And yet you'd be surprised how many churches don't do that. If you've grown up in Calvary Chapel and you move away and don't go to somewhere that's teaching the word, it's not just Calvary Chapel. Please, I have to be careful. It's not that I'm lifting up Calvary Chapel. There are other churches out there and groups that are teaching the word of God. It's just I know the Calvaries are because that's the group that I'm involved in. They're teaching it. But I can't tell you again, I have people that come back on a fairly regular basis. I hear, you know, we moved away. We couldn't find a place that was teaching the word of God. We had no idea what we had in a church that taught the word of God. It's something that's easy to take for granted, but it's where revival comes from. It's where we learn. It's where we grow. It's how we're fed. It's how we're ministered to. And so he says, revive me according to your word. If you need revival tonight, you need a personal revival. How are you going to find it? By getting in the word. Mark, I feel so dry. I feel whatever right now. Get in the word. And when you go to the word, say, God, open your word to me. Teach me from your word. Revive me in your word. God will be faithful to do that. He says, I've declared my ways and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. And I love this. Hear it again. God, make me. Make me understand the way of your precepts. You know, don't just even help me. God, make me. I need you to intervene because I can't do it. Make me understand the way of your precepts so I shall meditate on your wonderful works. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Again, where do we get strength? From the word. Are you feeling weak tonight? It's going to be spending time in the word. You're going to find your strength. Look at the honesty of the psalmist. Remove from me the way of lying. You know, I don't like to think of myself as a liar. And I don't think any of us would be liars in the classic sense of we're, you know, lying all the time, where it's as a lifestyle. But how often do we say something that either isn't quite 100% accurate, or maybe we say the truth, but really we kind of have a deceptive intent behind it? It's lying. And the psalmist is being honest, saying, I don't want that. Lord, I want to speak the truth. And we talked about this again on Sunday. Use tact and use wisdom when you speak the truth. Don't be rude and obnoxious with it. But it's sometimes hard to do, but we have to do it. We have to do it. And I love the honesty here. If that's a situation you're struggling with, ask God. Remove the way of lying. And look, if he loved the word this much and he delighted in God's word and he sees that he's got an issue with sometimes lying, then what about us? It's an honest question we have to ask. Don't lie to yourself about it. See, that wasn't even funny. And grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Now, note this again. It's a choice to get into the word of God. To choose the truth is a choice. You have to make a choice. I'm going to set aside time, get in the word, and seek God. But there's great reward in doing that. He says, I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I've laid before me. I've opened up the word of God. It's a choice I made. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. I love that picture. It gives a picture of your heart just being more magnanimous in the things of God and toward others. Isn't that beautiful? Just being more gracious, more loving, more this. I pray all the time, God, make me a man of love. That's one of my prayers I pray on a regular basis. Because it's not just learning to be a man of love or a woman of love. It's becoming a man or a woman of love. Love is something that's, it's got to be real. Now, we can choose to love. I get that. Love is a choice. I understand that. Biblically, love is a choice. But as we choose to love and ask God to enlarge our heart in love and in other areas, then God will transform us to become that. And so the psalmist here is saying, Lord, enlarge my heart. I need you to make it more than it is. My heart needs to be bigger. It needs to be more encompassing than it is. It's not just love. It includes a lot of things when he says, enlarge my heart. But there's a beautiful picture there of just becoming more like God in every way in an enlarged fashion. So again, Dalit. Now we come to Hay. He says, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. He says, if I understand what I'm supposed to do, then I'll keep it. Oftentimes, I'll pray that to the Lord. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You ever feel that way? God, what am I supposed to do? And the Bible doesn't give us a verse on, listen, it covers every issue, but it doesn't give us a verse that just reads exactly what we want. You know, tell your brother this, tell your sister that, tell them. It doesn't say that. It gives principles and other things and does give some straight directives. But sometimes we don't know. And so what he's saying is, you know what, I teach me your way, I'll keep it to the end, just let me know what you want. That's all I want. You show me, God, and I'll do it. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. There he shows his heart again, wanting to give everything to God. Again, look at this. Make me walk in the path of your judgments. I'm going to keep pointing those out because that's how I feel. God, make me do it. I want to do it. I can't find a way to do it, so make me do it. Again, do you ever feel that way? Just, you have the right. I'm giving you permission to just make me walk in the path I'm supposed to walk in, to walk in your commandments, for I delight in it. Now, this is interesting. He's saying I delight in it, but I find that I can't seem to do it. It goes back to Paul there in Romans where he said, the thing I want to do, I don't do. I want to, but I just, my flesh does something else. So make me do this, Lord. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Notice there seems to be a fighting against each other there, you know, between God's word and covetousness. When we covet, we're driven away from the word. And when we're driven to the word, we're going to be driven away from covetousness. You know, it's the old saying, this book will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this book. A very famous, you know, saying. A lot of people write that in the front of their Bible or whatever, you know, the case. It's a great thing to remember. And so, again, that's kind of the idea that he's giving here. You know, he's saying, you know, I want to delight in your word. I want to walk in your commandments. I need you to make it happen because that's my heart's desire. I'm just not doing it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. I want to be revived in your way, God. But note this, and I have this one underlined, turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things. Now, we can use all kinds of obvious examples of what we shouldn't be looking at. I mean, you can pull in pornography or whatever you want, but this isn't limited to that. He's not just saying, guard me from that kind of stuff. Listen to what he's saying. Turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things. It might not even be sinful. It might not even be bad. But how much time do we spend looking at things that make no difference for the kingdom of God or our life at all? It doesn't mean you can't look at it some. It doesn't mean you can't look at something funny or enjoy something entertaining on the internet or whatever. That's fun. I do it too. We all do it. Hey, watch this video and we all laugh together. Right? That's fun. But how many hours do we spend? You know the companies that do all that stuff? They literally do research to figure out what in the human psyche will make you go, okay, if you see that, what will make you want to scroll and see the next thing and the next thing? And they design it in the way the human psyche works to make you want to continue to scroll. And that's why, again, I'm not picking on anybody that's on Facebook or social media. I think there can be great uses for that. Matter of fact, there's a lot of ministry goes on in social media. So I'm all for that. I'm not against it at all. But I think we need to use wisdom as to how much time we're spending in it and how long we're spending in it if it's starting to take over our life. It just doesn't, you know, that's why one of the reasons I'm not on Facebook or do that stuff. I don't do it because I know what would happen. I like funny things. And I would just be like, oh. I mean, it would be just, oh, you know, I would get like, you know, tennis finger or something. You know, I have to go get like, wear a little cast for a while or something. And I'm like, I'm not even going there. So we all have to understand, you know, again, we have different propensities to different things. I think it's good to understand where our weaknesses or propensities are, but just guard yourself. Again, there's nothing wrong in video games. Have fun, play some video, but you might want to set a limit on it. If you're playing 8 hours a day, how much of your life is going away into nothing? If you're spending hours and hours a day just looking at funny things, how much of your life, it's funny and it's not necessarily sinful, but how much of your life is just, it's gone now? It's a worthless thing. So balance. It really, everything comes down to balance. And I love that because he's saying, Lord, you know, turn away my eyes. And notice he didn't say this. He didn't say, I will turn my eyes away. This is what I love all through Psalm 119 because I associate with his weakness. Because that's me. He says, make me do these things. Turn my eyes away. You know, just take my face and pull it this way, you know. Whatever you have to do, do it. And that's a great prayer to pray. Again, just to let, Lord, turn my eyes away from worthless things. And here's what, revive me in your way. Rather than, I'll spend a while looking at some fun things and funny and laugh and share with buddies and check up on family and friends. That's great. But now I'm going to stop, shut it off, and read the word. Let me have balance, God. Give me balance. That might be a good prayer to pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving me all things richly to enjoy, but give me balance. Let it not take my life over. And revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant. I love that. Settle it in my heart. You know, how many of us don't have the word settled in our heart? You know, is it really the word of God? Is it, you know, most believers, I think, have settled that. But if you don't, you need to establish the word in your heart. He says, establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Who doesn't, you know, who doesn't dread reproach? In other words, again, I'm being picked on because I'm saying that I believe the word of God, that I take it as the word of God, that I take it literally. There are seminary professors who would mock me tonight for saying I believe the word of God literally. That's not the world. That's seminary professors. No, I don't care. But if you're in a situation where you're being publicly reproached, you know, I had that happen one time. There was a gathering of different people from different denominations, and there was one particular group that was there. I'm not going to say who. It doesn't matter. And made some comment about the fact that we believe the word of God, you know, literally, and we teach it that way. And just in front of everybody, just laughed at me openly, you know. And this is not a poor me story. It didn't bother me. It's like, you know, yeah, you bet I do. Absolutely. I'm sorry you don't. Why don't you? Have you never met him? Have you never seen? Of course, I didn't say all this. This is the stuff you think about in your mind. I'm not standing there, you know, I wasn't Mr. Spiritual Rebuke him in some great, you know. No, I just let him do it and I was quiet. But nobody likes that. That's not fun. This is what's happening to the psalmist. He said, Lord, I dread the reproach, but I'm not budging. You can make fun of me. You can say I'm whatever, but I'm not budging. Because I know what the truth is. Reminds me of Peter, you know, when some of them started to get up and leave because the Lord was teaching hard things. A big group got up and left. And remember, the Lord didn't chase after them. He let them leave. And he turned to his disciples and said, are you going to go too? And Peter was like, Lord, where would we go? You hold the words of life. You know, I don't understand what you're saying, but I'm not going to leave. That's what the psalmist is saying here. He's saying, I dread the reproach, but your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Again, not mine. I don't have any. Revive me in your righteousness. And again, just letting God do the righteousness in the psalmist. Now, Vav, I know it's a W, but it has the V sound. Vav, let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. I love this. What he's saying is, now let your mercy come to me, and by knowing your word, give me your mercy, so that when I am mocked for believing the word of God, for those who reproach me, I have an answer for them in the word of God. You know, it's learning the word of God, you get answers to these things that people mock. And so what he's saying is, Lord, let me have those answers. And again, studying the word, they're going to be there. God will show you more, and you'll be able to answer those that reproach you because we trust in the word of God. The Bible says, let God be shown to be true and every man a liar. So when you stand on the word of God, you don't have to worry. You're going to be shown to be true. It may be a while till it happens, but you're going to be shown to be true when you stand on the word of God. He says, and take not the truth, or rather the word of truth, utterly out of my mouth, for I've hoped in your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. Notice what he says here. If we seek the precepts, if we have the word of God, we walk in liberty. But it's interesting, the Bible says that if we do away with the word of God, we walk in bondage. You see what's happening to our nation? You feel like some bondage is moving in on our nation, losing some freedoms? Why is that? We're getting away from the word of God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Well, the reverse of that is when you remove the Spirit, what happens? Bondage comes in. And so he says, I will walk at liberty. Why? For I seek your precepts. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings. Now, again, this could be another reason that many believe that it's King David. You know, how many normal people get a chance to speak the precepts or testimonies before kings? But it could have been someone else. Others also speak before kings, not just other kings. But he says, I'm going to do that. And this is where, again, the rubber hits the road. It's one thing to be able to say in front of you guys tonight, I believe the word of God. I stand on the word of God. I believe it's, you know, written by the Lord, every bit of it. It's another thing to be standing in front of a leader that might be unsaved and have the same stand. And what he's saying is, it doesn't matter who I'm in front of. I'm going to make this stand. And that's where we have to pray for boldness. It's something supernatural. God, give me boldness. Let me not fade at that moment when there's that opportunity, but give me boldness. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings, and I will not be ashamed. I love that. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to be ashamed of it. And I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. So just proclaiming the love of the Lord, and again, the meditation on the word of God. So Zion, remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. I love this verse. Again, this is a great prayer. You know, God, you've given me hope because you've promised me certain things in your word. Lord, remember that. It's almost as if God wants us to remind him of the promises that he's given. Not that God forgets, but he wants us to verbalize them. And God takes pleasure when we take him at his word and believe it. I think sometimes it's good to pray, Lord, here's what your word says. I know you're going to do this. It's not us commanding God to do anything. It's not that kind of, you know, health and wealth or demanding God to do anything. No, it's saying, God, you gave this promise. And so I'm standing on it. And I'm thanking you right now in advance for hearing me on this. And so I love that. He says, you've caused me to hope, so Lord, remember me based on that. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Now notice this, affliction is different than trials. Affliction speaks of what God does to us. It's a chastisement is the idea here. He says, this is my comfort in my chastisement. God is chastising me, he's saying, for your word has given me life. The proud have had me in derision, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and I've comforted myself. So comfort in the word of God. Indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. That is, I'm only here for a little while. The house of my pilgrimage, that would be the home that we live in. Your statutes have been my songs. I'm worshiping and singing to the Lord, the word of God. Isn't that great? I'm singing the Psalms in my home. I'm singing worship songs is what he's saying. Your statutes have been my songs. I think it's great. I encourage you again, worship the Lord in song, even if you don't think you're a great singer. You know, worship the Lord in song. If you're afraid to sing out loud in church because you're worried about your voice, then sing at home. Worship the Lord. There's a power in that. All through the scripture, we see a power in worship of the Lord through song. It says, that's what I'm doing in my house. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This has become mine because I kept your precepts. And so again, Zion, keeping his word and all the rewards of keeping his word. Okay, Het. Notice, you are my portion, O Lord. This is what I was talking about earlier when God told the Levites and the priests, I'm your reward, I'm your portion, I'm your inheritance. He says, that's what you are to me, Lord. You're my inheritance. You're my portion. I don't need anything else. You are my portion. I've said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. You promised, God, so I'm going to stand on it. What a great verse this is. This is a great verse, really, of repentance and a great verse, I think, for all of us to apply, maybe even challenge ourselves to tonight. Look what he says. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. You know, the Bible talks about when someone comes to their senses. You know, how many of us, we walked in the world till we came to our senses, right? We thought about our ways. You know, maybe just for a moment, think about your ways right now. What are your ways? Are they ways of the Lord? Are they ways seeking the Lord? Or are they ways of the flesh and ways of the world? listen, I'm not, again, not to beat you up. I'm simply doing what the psalmist, think about it. How are you living tonight? What is the direction? What is the path you're on? And is that where you want to be? Where's that path going to lead to in 5 years from now? Where's it going to lead to in 10 years from now? Just think about it. Because see, here's what happens. When you think it through, then you can say, I don't want that path. I don't want that way. And now you can make a choice to get on the right path. And again, there may be some of you tonight, God is challenging you to make the choice to get on the right path. Turn away. I love this. I turn my feet to your testimonies. I don't want to live my way. And notice this. If he's telling you to do that tonight, don't delay. Look at verse 60. I made haste and did not delay. Why? Because God knows if we delay, we can change our mind. If we give it time, right? I'll wait till later. I'll just do it whenever. Remember, Pharaoh, when do you want the frogs? I'll give you the honor of saying when the frogs are going to be gone. He said, tomorrow. Why in the world would you say that? Why did he want another night with the frogs? What was so great about the frogs? It was nasty. It was horrible. And yet, what do we do oftentimes? Just one more night with the frogs. I want a little bit more time. I'm not quite ready to make that commitment. Really? Listen, you spend enough time with the frogs, you're going to want to live there. And so, if God's convicting your heart tonight, make a decision tonight. Think about your ways. Is this really where you want to go? And turn. It's a choice. I have made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I've not forgotten your law. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you. I would encourage you to do that, but I would do it quietly for the rest of your family's sake, right? I think that's a good thing. But again, I like the fact that he not only got up, he got out of bed. You know, I'm going to go worship you, Lord. I mean, you've awakened me to worship you. I'm going to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. I am a companion of all who fear you. That is, I've made friends of companionship of others that love you as well and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. Again, that cry of God, I want to know your word. Tet, he says, you've dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. How many of us can say that? Again, I can say that. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep his word. God afflicted me. God allowed things to happen in my life, and then I got my eyes on the Lord, and now I don't go astray. An affliction can be a good thing. Oftentimes, God will afflict us because we're off of the path. He wants to bring us back. Again, there may be some of you being afflicted tonight. We touched on that. If that's the case, let God work. Don't fight against it. Come back to the word of God. Come back to the Lord. He says, I'm glad I got afflicted. I was going astray. This is a good thing. You are good and you do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me. That is like you're forging something out of steel. They've made a lie. They made it up. They created it. But I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Regardless of what they do, Lord, I'm staying focused on you. I love it. He doesn't attack them. He just talks about staying focused on the things of the Lord. I'm trying to speed up here because I want to finish this tonight. So we're going to zip. We may not. We'll see. I'm going to try to. Their heart is as fat as grease. It has this idea of it's worthless. You know, it's worthless. Fat that's intertwined in the meat is wonderful because it gives it flavor. But if it's only fat, that's not really a great meal. And so he says, there's no usefulness for it. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I've been afflicted. How many of us can say that? How many of you maybe don't want to say that, but now you're learning that. It's good. Why is it good? It drives us to the Lord. Again, it's good that I was afflicted. This is not a bad thing. God knows what he's doing. And so I'm going to let him work this in me and finish his work. Why? That I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. So look at the way he honors the word of God. Yod, again, this is the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. What a beautiful picture that is. We talk about being formed and fashioned in the womb by the Lord. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me because I've hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Notice he afflicted us, but how did he do it? In faithfulness. If you're afflicted tonight by the Lord, it's because he loves you. This is one of those fatherly spankings, if you will. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort. According to your word, the word of your servant, let your tender mercies come to me that I may live. For your law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood. But I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me, those who know your testimonies. Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. I don't think we're going to finish tonight. There's no way. I'm going, I can do this. There's just no way, even I couldn't do this. We're going to stop here. I don't, you know, my heart is not just, you know, I love the Word of God. I know you guys do. It's not just to kind of, you know, torture you until the last second here with just me. I've got to get through this, not because of God's worst torture, but me doing it to you. No, we're going to stop here, and we'll take up here next week. I really thought we could finish that, but that's okay. We'll take up and maybe even spend just the last half of it for next week. But how precious is the Word of God? How precious. I encourage you tonight, if you're not spending time in the Word, just commit to the Lord tonight. Say, God, I'm going to start spending time in the Word. I want to know your Word. I need to know your Word. This is where life is, guys, right here. This is where you're going to find life. You're not going to find it in the world. You're not going to find it anywhere. Everything is empty that's out there. And for some of you, you've tried most everything out there. I've tried a lot of stuff that's out there. And probably many of you have tried a lot that's out there. It's empty. This is the only thing that brings life. It's the only thing that fulfills, that satisfies. It's the Word of God. Let's pray that God gives us, that he makes us love his Word, gives us a delight in his Word. I love his Word. And I delight in his Word. I'm sure you do as well. But let's pray that God, like the psalmist did, would make us love it even more, that we would delight in God's Word even more, and just, again, want to soak God's Word in and just seek it. Again, I encourage you this week, meditate in Psalms. You might even go through Psalm 119 and pray this. Pray Psalm 119. You know, use it as a prayer for a few mornings or whatever. Meditate on it and let God minister his Word to you, and I know that he will. But let's pray for God to do that tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your Word. I thank you for how wonderful your Word is, God, and just the power of your Word, and Lord, just the ministry of your Word. And Father, I just pray that you would, Lord, make us to delight in your Word. Make us to love your Word. God, we do love your Word. We do delight in your Word. But as the psalmist, Lord, who also said he loved your Word, cried out and said, make me to do these things. Turn me toward your precepts. God, it showed that he knew in his heart that he could love you more. He wanted to have even more of your Word and more of a desire for you. God, if anyone's here tonight, any of us have a heart that's dry towards your Word, I pray that you would now step in by your Spirit and give a desire for the Word. Let us delight in it, God. Let us honor your Word, because in so doing, Lord, we're honoring you. And I just pray now, Lord, that, again, you would bless us in our time this week, as we just seek you in the Word of God and seek you in prayer, or maybe even over Psalm 119, just to take it in and soak it in, Lord, and just to enjoy you. Let us know you and know your precepts, your statutes. God, know your heart by knowing your Word. For again, that is where life is. Father, we thank you for your Word tonight and the teaching of your Holy Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.